Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. I am your host and guide, Jojopa Maria Enzaroma. And November, which we have come to, my goodness, we're just like 2 months away from 2020. This is the third and final water month in this mind-blowing mineral year of clarity, confidence, and courage. Now, November is a double water month because it's 1-1. And if you know numerology, you know that 11 is very significant. It's called a master builder number. It's a manifestation number. And so in the wisdom I keep, this double water means that it's time for really emptying out and filling up at deep emotional levels, which can result in living more on purpose and more in alignment with higher purpose. So, my theme for this month is falling in love with your life. I love, love, love talking about love. And talking about falling in love with your life is something I just am so excited and so happy to be sharing with you, because I can't tell you how essential this is to our human experience. You know, being broke all the time, frustrated with your job, unfulfilled and unhappy in your relationships, or thinking that you can never find that dream relationship that you have, that you want to have in your life. All of that is hating your life. That's not loving your life. So through two live radio broadcasts and accompanying videos, I'm going to guide you through a process of releasing yourself from unhappy endings while stepping into new beginnings as you free yourself up to receive all of the blessings that your God and the universe have been waiting for you to claim. And this is what enables us to really, really love our lives. This week, I'll begin with a spiritual wisdom spill on releasing attachment to suffering. But first, for those of you who may be listening in for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of Wisdom Walk. This program is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the initial goal of my shows is to support all of you listening or watching in learning how to release any and all pain that may be blocking you from those happy endings and new beginnings in life, what I call fulfillment in life. Every Sunday night, 5 p.m. Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern, I broadcast live on Black Hole Radio, unless I'm on hiatus, which will happen for the last 2 weeks of the month. And if for some reason you can't access the internet to listen to this live broadcast, know that you can listen in through this phone number, which is area code 563-999-3089. Now, I will upload a video of this broadcast to my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, on Tuesday. I try to do it the following Tuesday. You can ask questions or share comments on my website, which is www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com, or in the comments below the YouTube video. So right now, I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where you can connect to your soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Now, as always, I like to begin my shows by starting out with an honoring of the ancestors, the people whose shoulders we're standing upon, the people for whom we are beholden to for everything that they experienced, everything they went through, that led to us being able to be here. There is a wonderful, wonderful area of study called evolutionary dynamics, which is about the evolution not only of a human species in terms of our physical adaptations, but also what's happening for us consciously, how our consciousness evolves. And a big teaching in that is the fact that when we evolve, yes, we transcend to a next level, but we also include everything else that we have learned, everything else we've experienced. And that's what I think about when I think about the ancestors. The ancestors are there to remind us of what it is that we are including into our lives. And the things that work for us, we can keep. But if it's something that doesn't work for us, we need to toss it out. And they're really, really helpful in giving us the guidance for doing that so that we can live a happier, a more balanced, a healthier lifestyle. So in honor of the very significant, and it really is kind of worldwide, celebration of the ancestors, one, of course, being Day of the Dead, which is Latino countries, originally coming out of Africa. Also, in the European tradition, there is All Saints Day, All Souls Day. And all of these times were for people saying, we need to remember where we came from, what we've included in our lives. In other words, it was a time to pause and really honor the ancestors. And so that's what I'd like us to do right now. I'm just calling on all the ancestors. So you can speak their names aloud as I open up to do a little prayer to help us stay in communication, stay in connection with our ancestors by asking them for the help. Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, all the one, all that is, we thank you, we thank you, we thank you for your blessing and your mercy in our lives and for yet another opportunity to call on the ancestors, Creator, these great emissaries that you provide for us, they who can see in all directions at once, they for whom problems here are not problems there in their land. We are so grateful to get access to their wisdom, their guidance, their love. And to know that we do not have to be here on the earth plane trying to figure it out, struggling and suffering and doing everything all on our own with only what we can see, hear, touch, taste, and feel, that there is this other world that is around us and willing and able to provide us with support. And so, Creator, we call on those ancestors, saying, ancestors, 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 thank you, thank you, thank you so much for all your guidance, your wisdom, your love. Continue to help me, especially in those times when I forget that I need help. Send me some signs, show me some things to remind me to always stop and ask for help, that I do not have to do it alone. And so, Creator, I thank you again for this opportunity to call out, to invoke our ancestors. And I ask you for this in the name of all that is holy. I say, Amen, Ashe, Aho, Sashing, Gabisila. So it is. So it is. Yes, yes, yes. So let's get into some elemental wisdom and some astrological, astronomical wisdom for this week. And because January 1st was on a Tuesday, the elemental week begins on a Tuesday. So it's the fifth that we get to experience an Earth week, an Earth week. And the opportunities this week would be about receiving support. Yeah, receiving support, allowing yourself to have the support you need. Know that you are worthy. Embrace the power of self-love and honor the energetic of the earth element as you open yourself to receiving what you need to be fulfilled, nurtured, appreciated, and loved. Be self-full. That's the opposite of selfish. This is cosmic reciprocity that you're going to experience this week for all that you have done to support others. You deserve it. Ask and you shall receive. Now, with every opportunity, there can be a distraction. And so here are three distractions to be on the lookout for this week as you open yourself to receive the support you deserve. One is the fear of hearing no. Sometimes we have to ask for things. And, of course, we have pride or we're really afraid that we're going to hear a no. So we decide, oh, no, let me not ask. But if you don't ask, you'll never know. And really good wisdom I received was accept the no's because they will lead you to the yeses. But if we don't even make the attempt, we'll never get to our yes. Another distraction is the fear of being a burden. So again, this judgment that you have of yourself, of your situation, this shouldn't be happening to me, I shouldn't be needing help. But the reality is that, you know, there's just times when we need help. And if you think you're a burden when you're really not, then you're blocking your ability to get help. And last but not least, that fear of being judged as weak or as a failure, you know, all of the, you know, fear of not fitting in because you're in a situation where you need help. Let that go quick, because that will really block you from people being able to even access you to give you the help that you need. Now, next Tuesday, after this Tuesday, so on the 12th, we'll begin a fire week, a time for focusing on truth-telling and, again, really connecting with the ancestors. So I'll tell you all about that in the next broadcast and video. Moving right along, the astrological big happening is that on Halloween, on October 31st, Mercury went retrograde. This is the third and final retrograde for 2019. Its significance is that it is in the sign of Scorpio. And Mercury is moving through Scorpio, and it'll be there until December 10th. That's a pretty long time for Mercury to stay in a particular sign. It's very unusual. So, you know, Scorpio has about it all of this energy about, you know, things coming to light. It's a reminder about things ending so new things can begin. You know, there is, because it is a water sign, there's an emotional peace associated with it. But when people hear retrograde, they often think that it's a bad thing. Oh, no, Mercury retrograde, I'm not going to be able to get stuff done, and things are going to not go my way. But I have just come across several astrologers who are saying, no, don't stay in that old paradigm. You know, retrograde means that that planet is closer to the Earth than normal. It's in alignment with the sun. It's conjuncting with the sun, and it's in orbit to have conjunction with the sun, and so it appears that the planet is going backwards when it really isn't. It's just our perception of it, and so it's a time. Mercury retrograde is a time for us to just take a pause and to really consider, okay, what's happened over the last 3 months. What's happened the last 4 months? What's going on? Where am I now? What do I need to consider? Is there something I started that needs a little more tweaking so that it really can get completed? If you get, you know, slowed down in terms of your travel, accept it. Know that the universe is trying to support you. Don't get all out of sorts. If you miss a plane, you miss a plane. Miss a train, you miss a train. Maybe there was somebody you needed to meet, and the only way you could do that is if you missed your transportation link. Who knows? But the idea is that during this time of the Mercury retrograde, you want to really, really give yourself the opportunity to just slow down. Now, the retrograde will last until the 20th of November, so it will be over before the Thanksgiving holiday here in the United States rolls around. And just one other thing about the retrograde that I found interesting. It has two main phases, is one astrologer says. The first phase is about analysis, is that we get this time, and they say it's the first 10 to 11 days of the retrograde. We get this time to kind of be contemplated, introspective, seek inner meaning. It's a time to reflect on how the previous retrograde cycle may have affected us. Or, again, what's going on in my life right now? What do I need to look at, reconsider, consider? You know, so it's almost just, again, taking that time to analyze to rethink, to mull over. Yeah. And then the second phase, which of course would be the last 11 to 12 days of the cycle, it's considered observe and insight. This astrologer says Mercury now born again with a clear sense of purpose. And when it meets the sun, Mercury brings its qualities and puts them into the perspective of the sun, the self, the mind, becomes one with the self, aligned with purpose. Mercury now takes what he has learned in the previous cycle and brings it to the next level of awareness. So this is a perfect time to begin to initiate something new. And initiate doesn't mean complete. Initiate means initiate. You want to be able to start something new. So again, you will do it, though, if you follow the guidance and you take that time to go in, do your inner work, do some analysis and contemplative questioning, that in the last half of this cycle, that you will, you know, and that's like from November the 12th through the 20th, I mean, November 10th through the 20th, you will be more able to initiate from a place of rightness, yeah. So, and just a reminder, I have declared that every 22nd of the month is Earth Day, so November the 22nd will be Earth Day. Just a reminder about that. Okay, moving right along, let me give you an overview of what it is I want to cover, excuse me, in the program tonight. I want to first talk about falling in love with your life and kind of what I mean by that or what it is. And then I want to talk about what does being attached to suffering look like? Because if you're attached to suffering, clearly you ain't loving life. You're not able to love your life. I'll next talk about the four, what I consider the four big reasons why we get attached to suffering. And then, of course, I'll leave you with a personal challenge. Take a little glass of water here. Ah. My quote for this week comes from the great 20th century virtuoso classical pianist. He was one of the great interpreters of Chopin, and that is Arthur Rubinstein. And Arthur said, "I have found that if you love life, life will love you back." And I totally agree with that. So let's begin with characteristics of someone who has fallen in love with their life. What does that look like, taste like, sound like? And what I've come up with for you is the following. They're authentic. They're patient. They're non-judgmental. They're kind, generous. They're compassionate, supportive, encouraging. They're resourceful. They're great manifestors. They're effective change agents. They're passionate about meeting and connecting with other people. They're always open to experiencing new people, new places, new things. They're emotionally and spiritually affluent. They possess clarity, confidence, and courage about who they are and what brings them joy and satisfaction on a daily basis. Yeah. So just think about that and think about people that you know who are like that. You know, that kindness, they're authentic, you know, they're interested and curious in new things. These are people who have fallen in love with their life. They've fallen in love with life. There are three essential choices that you make to fall in love with your life. One is, You've chosen to be clear about your uniqueness and your higher purpose. And so what's insinuated here is that you've let go of comparing yourself to others or needing approval from others in order to be in the truth of who you are. Higher purpose. They know that they are here for a reason, for a higher purpose, that they're not just here to survive in 3D mentality, that they're something more, and they have opened themselves up to live that, to live that. A second essential choice that people who have fallen in love with their lives have had to make is they've chosen to be confident in the face of challenges because they do not believe that they're a victim to life. They believe the world is out to gift them, not get them. And they perceive challenges and disappointments as opportunities for growth. Very much about personal sovereignty. They feel like they have an ability to choose how they respond to a situation, to how it shows up. Just a quick example that comes to mind is the story of, and I forget the name of this man, shame on me, but he was called the King of Children. And this is during the time of World War II, and he was running a home for orphans. And, you know, in Nazi Germany, anything or anyone that didn't fit into the mold of who was valuable became disposable. And so this man and these children were taken to a concentration camp. And the story is that when it was time for them to go to the gas chamber, they stood tall, they held their heads up high, and they walked proudly and bravely to their death. And to me, you know, that is evidence of children and this man having fallen in love with their life, so much so that even at the end of their life, and in such a horrid, inhumane way, they were still choosing to go out with dignity. It's like, yeah, I'm not giving my power over to you, Nazis. I'm not letting you think that you are going to, you know, pull me off my game. Like, this is, I love life. And, hey, if this is how I got to go, so be it. Gone. Yeah, it's an amazing, amazing story. The third essential choice that someone who's fallen in love with their life has to make is they choose to be courageous, to be strong of heart by feeling their fear but not letting it stop them from taking the necessary risk into the unknown so that they can experience what is really right for them. In a word, they are able and willing to let go of their past, to let go of what it is that they have known so that they can discover what they need to know, what the new is. So just to give you an example about how falling in love with your life is a developmental process, and I'm going to talk to you about why we do fall into holding on to suffering, how we fall into not loving our lives, and how we hate our lives, and almost wear a badge about that, you know. But it's a developmental process, and it's something that we can get to at any time in our lives. It doesn't matter how old we are. We always have the opportunity to fall in love with our life. I want to pause for a minute because I've just got a a message from my technician that I have a caller from area code 310. And if she is still listening right now, and if she would put that caller through before I tell the story, that would be great. I'd give it a minute. Let me just send her a little text here to say, connect, please. And we'll see if that happens. But I will tell the story. And the story is of Ms. Sarah, that those of you who listen in will hear me talk about her at the end of the show. I always give some props out to her. And Sarah, when she was age 63, packed up her suitcase, got on a plane, and took herself to the Greek islands. Now, this is something that she'd wanted to do for a long time. It's something she felt really called to do. But she was busied up with her marriage, with raising her child. But finally, she got to a point in life that she decided, I need to do me. I need to do me. And so she went to Greece for a year to discover how to fall in love with her life. Sarah is now 95 years old, which will be 95 in a couple of weeks. And she continues to fall in love with her life. She continues to have a joie de vivre, you know, just that zest for life, so vibrant. So there's no excuses, folks. There's no excuses. You can fall in love with your life at any point, at any point. Don't think this is the way it is. I'll go on and on. You know, no, you can do that. Oh, I got a message that the caller's mic is open, so I'm asking who's on the line. Hello? I don't think they can hear me. Oh, well. Anyway. Their mic is open, and so if they want to jump in, they can ask a question. But anyway, if this is something that's developmental, this being able to fall in love with our lives, what is it that has blocked us or what blocks us from it that makes us have to go through a process in order to be able to get to love our lives? And that's about being attached to the suffering. I also call it guarded misery. Yeah. Meaning, like, you can give somebody some suggestions for, well, maybe you could do this, maybe you could do that, you know, after they've given you their suffering story, right? And you say, well, maybe try this or maybe try that. And their response will be, oh, no, I can't, because if I do that and it's this and I'm gonna, you know, they always come up with an excuse for why they need to suffer. So that's why it is like this this guarded misery. So I came up with a whole list of why it is that you are attached to the suffering, okay? And so I'm going to go through the list and then I'll give you some of the deeper reasons for why we are attached to suffering. But here's what it looks like when we are attached. We're always complaining about money, jobs, relationships. We're usually going to sleep and waking up in a state of worry and anxiety. We regularly experience impatience. We're extremely uncomfortable not knowing what's going to happen next. We always want to be in charge. We procrastinate, especially around issues that would address a health issue or a money issue. So in other words, when there is an opportunity to try to get something balanced, get it back into wellness, we'll procrastinate about it. We're unable to find time to get still and go in, always coming up with an excuse for, I don't have time for that. It's too much. I can't do that. We're usually seeing the glass as half empty versus half full. We have difficulty trusting people even when they've demonstrated trustworthiness. We feel sorry a lot. It may show up in us projecting it onto other people, but it's basically us feeling sorry for ourselves. Yeah. Oh, and we gossip a lot. We take things personally most of the time. We're often judgmental about others and ourselves. We believe that things never work out the way we want them to. That's our experience of life. We feel disappointed by others most of the time, always let down, always betrayed. We experience ourselves giving more to others than what they give back. Right? So there's no reciprocity. We're unwilling to forgive. We believe that there are people and situations that we can never forgive. So we hold on to resentment like a badge of honor. We don't enjoy having our picture taken, or we are addicted to putting our selfies on Facebook and Instagram. Because both of those behaviors are about not loving yourself, self-hatred. In the one, you just don't even want to deal with yourself. And the other, you keep trying to prove to yourself that you are beautiful, that you are okay, that you are enough. Yeah. And then finally, when you are attached to the suffering, when you are in that guarded misery, you definitely will manage emotional pain with sedative substances and activities. Yeah. And you know what I'm talking about. Yeah. So let me talk the four big reasons for how we get attached to the suffering. And the first one, I think it's the most fundamental one, is the wounding, the heartbreak, and trauma not sufficiently processed when we are children, so that we're left with the belief that bad things happen to us because we are bad. This is identifying with the pain and growing up believing that there's something profoundly, profoundly wrong with you. The next one is childhood conditioning to shut down emotions and pass your spelling test. In other words, you're not supported in learning how to express and release your negative emotions in a healthy, positive manner. Because the other thing that can happen is when adults don't parent and they allow children to act out and have temper tantrums without setting a boundary, that too is, you know, this learning how to be attached to suffering, and that it's normal. Yeah. Now, as an adult, what will attach you to the suffering is the pursuit of social and material wealth that excludes emotional and spiritual intelligence and alignment with your higher purpose. And there's just a whole bunch of people out in the news today that you can look at who are quote-unquote materially wealthy and who clearly are not loving their lives, are clearly caught up in a lot of those behaviors and activities that I mentioned on the list. Yeah. Yeah. This is a big one for Western culture, because Western culture in Western culture, you're told that if you pursue the wealth and pursue the acquisition of material things, you will be successful and the sun will shine for you and you will love your life and everything will be wonderful. You know, there have been actual research done in the United States asking people and well-to-do people about the state of their life, about whether or not they're happy. And the majority of them were not. So clearly, loving your life doesn't have a lot to do with anything about being material or having a lot of material stuff or having a lot of money. That's not the answer to love your life. Now, can it support you loving your life? Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. But to actually love your life, to experience loving your life, yeah. All of that stuff will do is bring you a suffering because, again, you don't have access to your emotional intelligence so that you can work on transforming your pain and a spiritual intelligence so that you know that you're here for a bigger purpose. Yeah. And then the fourth big reason, I believe, why we get attached to the suffering is the lack of validation and support for the expression of our authentic self. Yeah. Again, when you are schooled to become something that meets the needs of the economy versus the needs of your heart, yeah, it's going to cause some suffering. And, you know, over and over again, I've met people who love to paint or love to play a musical instrument or love to write or, you know, or love these different expressions, cultural expressions, but who have taken on a lifestyle to, you know, pursue the wealth and have left out the who they are in the process, exchanging that for, you know, a Disneyland cruise or a Bahama weekend or, you know, a tour of Europe, whatever. You know, some kind of travel that says, oh, see, I'm happy, I'm good, you know. Or remodeling of the house again, right? Another remodeling job. You know, whatever it is that keeps you from actually having and expressing who it is you really are and what it is you really want. Yeah. Another classic example of what I'm talking about in terms of how we get attached to suffering as a result of, you know, these reasons is the example of Ebenezer Scrooge from the great Charles Dickens novel, A Christmas Carol. And I refer to Scrooge a lot because it's such a great character in the story, and you know Dickens just nailed it and captured so much in that, because you know Scrooge is just this soulless and heartless man who hates people, and he has all this money but he can't use it for himself because he hates himself. So he's sitting up cold in his office, and you know he's miserly, and you know he's got all these people afraid of him because he has money. So people come to him, you know, when they need help, but then he charges them all this interest, so they're always in debt, you know, and he's like Dr. Death walking down the street. You know, nobody likes Ebenezer Scrooge. And in order for Ebenezer to finally be able to love his life, what has to happen is he has to go and do his inner work. And we find out that as a child, he was neglected by his family. He did not get that validation. He did not get that love. He did not get help with processing his heartbrokenness, you know, and all of that childhood experience and conditioning just had him, you know, kind of collapse in on himself to, I hate people. Leave me alone. But once he, you know, is able to connect with his past and also to look at what the consequences are that await him for not having, you know, loved his life and done his purpose. Oh, he wake up that next morning, he's like, I'm dancing, I'm playing, let me spend all the money I can as fast as I can, you know. He's like, I love life. I'm loving my life. That's it. So, you know, again, that's a powerful and wonderful story that just helps us know that, yes, we do get blocked. We can get thwarted in being able to love our life, because we can get stopped from being who we really are, from accessing what it is we really need. But again, we don't have to stay in the suffering. We don't have to stay in that place. We can actually learn how to move it forward, to move it forward. Yeah. So here's a personal challenge I want to share with you to support you in how it is that you can begin to open up to loving your life. Now, some of you may already be in the process, so this can just be a support to you. It can just kind of be something additional to help you with it. Just to tell you a little bit about my story, I didn't realize how much I didn't love my life until I had to face how much I didn't love my life, you know, till things began to fall apart, till I began to really, really get to see how I was believing that the world was out to get me. And once I became conscious of that, I decided to take on, well, it was first about just healing. I just wanted to be out of pain. I got to a point where I was done being in so much pain and so much fear. I had no idea, too, how fear ruled my life, how I made so many decisions on a daily basis out of fear rather than out of loving myself. And so, you know, I took that on first, and as I was taking on this getting out of the pain, and some things started to open up and some things started to shift. About really 3-4 years later after that initial opening, when the opportunity was presented for me to really, you know, do like Miss Sarah, like jump off the merry-go-round and go out and find out who I am, I was able to say yes and do that. And I spent 6.5 years living nomadically and learning how to become a shamanic healer, because it was something that was calling to me. It was something that I really felt I needed to do. And it took a lot of courage. It was not an easy decision. But I was at a point where I knew that if it was right for me, all of the support I needed, everything I needed would show up easily and effortlessly. And that's exactly what happened. There were times I fell into a void and I was in that fear space again, and I didn't know what to do, except I remembered calling those ancestors. You ain't got to do this alone. And I would call on them, and they would always, always bring me someone, something, an idea or thought. Money even would show up for me in crazy ways to support me on that journey. And then when I was done with the journey, they made it really clear to me, and I got access to a living space that I couldn't have figured out how I was going to get access, but it showed up. Yeah, we can learn how to fall in love with our lives. We definitely can. So here's a spiritual practice that, again, may be of service to you. I want you to make a list of what you don't like or what you hate about your life. Yeah. And this part of the process is to help you become more conscious, like I had to, what's not working for you and to be really clear about it. Because a lot of times we come up with excuses. Like, I came up with so many excuses for why I had to keep suffering in a job situation, in a relationship, not ever having enough money, or having no money flow, you know. And I finally have to look at that, and I have to say, yeah, I don't like this. This really doesn't work for me. So you make that list of what you like, don't like, what you hate about your life. The next thing you do is you make a list of what you do like or love about your life. So what is it that is working for you? Yeah. After that, you're going to write down a prayer to your God, and you're going to ask to be released from what you hate and supported in what you love. Yeah. The reason I'm asking you to write down the prayer rather than just to, you know, do it in your head or speak it out loud, which you can do both of those, but you really need to write it down, write it out, because you're going to place that prayer in an envelope that you're then going to seal and mark it to be opened in 40 days. Okay? So you take and you put that envelope away in a safe place, in a drawer, and then you mark your calendar for that 40-day when you're going to go and open up that envelope and read that prayer. Read what it is that you said in that prayer. You will be amazed at what will have shifted to support you loving your life within that 40-day time frame. Yeah. Yeah. Now, you repeat this process every 40 days. So again, you get another envelope, you use the same envelope, just make sure you seal it. You can add a little something more to the prayer or shift something up in the prayer, whatever. You know, you can do your edits. But again, tuck it away for another 40 days. And you're going to do that repeatedly until you're able to believe beyond the shadow of a doubt that your God and the universe are working to have you love your life, especially when things are challenging. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. So this is an exercise in growing your consciousness, growing your belief system, you know, changing up the wiring in your brain that has you believing you're here to suffer, that suffering is your badge of courage. Yeah. Yeah. You want to move out of that, and you want to move into that loving your life, you know, being that person who is patient and kind and peaceful, peacemaking, understanding, appreciative, supported, you know, who has faith, you know, is able to trust, is willing to take the necessary risk to learn what is new. That's where you're headed. Yeah. So just a reminder that this personal challenge, for those of you watching the YouTube, will be listed in the box below. I also will post it on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. And if you haven't already, please subscribe, like my channel, and hit that little bell so you get notified of all the postings that I do easily and effortlessly. Thank you. Wow. Falling in love with your life. Wow. Just an amazing thing. Just imagine if everybody on the planet took that on. What if everybody on the planet for the year 2020 decided, I'm gonna learn how to love my life. I'm gonna really step into loving my life. Oh my God. Within the first 3 months, there would be such a shift. It would be unbelievable. So share this video, share this link to the broadcast with as many people as you know the more people we can get to sign up for learning how to love their lives, oh man, it's going to be a heaven on earth. Yeah. Well, I want to close out by first thanking my wonderful engineer, Miss Yvette Parker, and the entire Black Hole Radio Be Well family for their continued support so that I can get these spiritual wisdom spills and messages out to you on a weekly basis. I also want to shout out to my regular listeners and especially Ms. Sarah, who gave me permission to share her story and who, again, teaches me the importance of every day doing something, experiencing something that has you loving your life. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Sarah, so much. Love you. And to all of those who have wisdom walk with me, and you know who you are, to my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters all around the world, and those who may be listening or watching for the first time. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much, because I couldn't do this work without you. Now, next week, I will continue November's theme of falling in love with your life, and I will be focusing on letting the love show up. And I'll be sharing with you some spiritual practices that support our ability to do that, grow our capacity to do that. Again, my Facebook page is Wisdom Walk Radio, my YouTube channel, The Wisdom Walk to Self Mastery. And last but not least, I want to thank and also mention that we've gone into daylight savings time out here in California. Also that there are still fires raging, so whatever prayers that you can send, please send them. I have been blessed. I was not in an immediate evacuation zone. The fire was maybe about 3 or 4 miles from where I am. We just had one day of really bad air, but by the second day it started to clear up, and now it's decent. It's decent. But, yeah, the phenomena of all of these fires, it's really, really something else. So thank you. Thank you for the prayers. And so I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, my loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important and essential work with and for all of you. Will you please have a fabulous Earth Week. Open yourselves up to receiving that support that you deserve. And most importantly, please remember, you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.
I hope you enjoy Convergence, and thanks again for sharing this part of your lives with us. It's been a real pleasure. Thank you.